You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferrer.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up tonight after 7, it's Reveal. Tonight, Reveal looks at public assistance programs in the United States and the prospects for welfare reform in a Republican-led federal government. That's coming up tonight after 7 on the Ideas Network.
First, for many parents, the constant shuffle between work schedules and their children's school schedule can create a logistical juggling act and ongoing stress for everyone involved. We'd like to hear from you on this. Do you find it difficult to keep up with your child's school schedule? Are you frustrated with school policies regarding picking up maybe a sick kid? Are you able to work in conferences, afternoon events into your schedule? I'd like to hear about your experience at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
Our next guest published a report for the Center for American Progress that suggests this parental balancing act may be taking a greater toll than many people realize. Joining us now is Ulrich Boser. He's a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress. Ulrich, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, Ulrich, you're a parent, and I wonder if you might start us off with a story from your own life about why you say schools expect too much from parents.
Yep, I got a phone call from my school recently that asked me to come in to give my daughter some Tylenol. And, you know, I've had a number of these experiences over the years, you know, where our school is closed for professional development today. And with some colleagues at the center, we looked at schools across the country and found that policies like this are very common. In some areas, schools might close for the start of hunting season, or schools are regularly closed for parent-teacher conferences or these training days. And, you know, we just wanted to make a point and show that, you know, these policies have a negative impact on working families. And, you know, we found, you know, a huge impact on the economy of $55 billion because parents aren't able to work with school life.
Now, schools, of course, will need to be closed for various reasons, as you said, things like holidays or breaks, that sort of thing. So do you have a sense of how many days a year schools tend to be closed?
Yeah, so when we compared working schedules for your typical worker versus school schedules, we found that school districts are closed about a month, 29 weekdays on average, and that's really more than most working parents have in paid vacations and holidays, and that doesn't include summer vacation. And what I want to be clear here is that, you know, we're not asking schools to now suddenly, you know, take on the task of childcare, but we do think that with a little bit more thoughtfulness, we can create schedules that work better for parents as well as for schools.
And what might that thoughtful schedule look like, do you think?
Sure, we were in touch with one school in New York City where they had the teachers working from 9 to 5, but only then working 4 days a week. And so that allowed a schedule that worked better for the parents in that community. It allowed more flexibility for the teachers as well. You know, for teachers who they have summers off, but it's very hard for them and during the week to take time off to visit the doctor or go shopping. And so that day off during the typical work week allowed them a little bit more flexibility. And it didn't cost that school a lot more money to roll out this program. But we think that, you know, these types of innovative situations or policies and programs could work in a lot of areas.
And it sounds like you also found that there is an economic cost in lost productivity that comes along with some of these scheduling issues you're describing. What's the case for that?
When you think about these days off, like professional development days, parents, and I'm sure many of your listeners know the feeling of, you know, running around trying to figure out, you know, what am I going to do with my child on this Friday, as it often happens. And so that causes, you know, parents either take time off from work or be less productive or have to pay out of pocket for babysitters or child care. And so we calculated that up and tried to put a number on, given an estimate what this costs for parents.
And do you have a sense about whether it's something that's universally perceived as a problem, or are there certain groups that maybe struggle more with this in the parents?
What we found, you know, in speaking to parents and speaking to other experts is that disadvantaged families, families that might be working, you know, service jobs, whether they're working in restaurants and hotels, and they don't have a lot of notice about what times they have off, will struggle with this a lot more. One, their schedules are less flexible. Two, they have less disposable income to move around to, you know, cover these sudden days off.
We're talking right now with Ulrich Boser, senior fellow at the Center for American Progress, talking about a report that he co-authored on the misalignment of schedules between parents' work schedule and their children's schools. And you touched on this a little bit earlier, Ulrich, about the end time of a lot of schools. It can be anywhere from early afternoon to mid-afternoon, and most jobs that are 40-hour-a-week jobs, or at least many of them, you know, you're going to be there until maybe 5 o'clock in the evening, sometimes later than that. So how does that end up stacking things?
Yeah, you know, when we looked around to figure out, you know, why do schools end at 3 o'clock or 3:30 or 2:30, depending on the area, there's not really any argument for it, right? I mean, it's something that's arisen over time. It's merely sort of an aspect of our culture. And so, you know, why is that? What can we do to do more to support teachers, to support students, to support working parents? And there are innovative ways to either integrate after-school care into school, or to, you know, do more to work with the rhythms of student life. And we all know the feeling of, you know, around 3 o'clock when you sort of get tired. You know, what can we do then to offer either more recess or more academics for whatever students need? And that, you know, 3 o'clock closing time is peculiar, and we wanted to sort of question why it exists and lay out some, you know, proposals and programs and ideas for schools and communities that are willing to take on this issue.
Well, I know here in Wisconsin, I mean, I'm looking out a window right now, and it's pretty much pitch black outside. So if kids are getting out of school now at 5 o'clock, they're going to be walking home in the dark, which isn't something parents of younger kids are going to be very happy about. So maybe there are some practical concerns there, like, for instance, daylight savings time.
Yeah, certainly there are practical concerns. And really what we wanted to highlight with our report is it should really be local communities to, you know, up to local communities to assist this type of issue, right? So in some communities where maybe you have a lot of parents working late nights, you'll want to offer more in those areas. So, you know, what we really though wanted to highlight was this issue of, you know, we have schools that close regularly for all sorts of holidays, much more than most working families have time off. Many schools start early. Some start as early as 7:30 in the morning. We know that doesn't work well with teenagers' time schedules. So how can we, you know, move beyond that and see what's best for our communities and what's best really for working families?
And speaking of working families, there has been a call lately that the federal government take up things that support working families, maybe paid family leave, other social structures like that. Just briefly, are the concerns that you're levying here something that could maybe be better taken up by policymakers at the federal level rather than putting the burden on individual schools themselves?
Yeah, what we laid out in our report is trying to document all the ways that a lot of federal money that goes out right now could be used for these types of services. This can quickly get into the details of school funding, which I think for our listeners we're going to avoid, but there are large pots of money currently available to schools and school districts across Wisconsin that can use this money for these types of programs. So certainly we would love to see federal lawmakers take up this issue when we look at, you know, issues like paid leave and how hard we fought around those. It doesn't necessarily seem like it's going to happen anytime soon, but when we look right now at the local level, there's a lot that schools and districts can do if they want to think more creatively about how they schedule their school days, how they think about engaging parents in school day to day, and you know, make systems that work better for all those involved.
Ulrich Boser is with us right now. He's a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress, talking about his new report, co-authored, the misalignment of schedules between parents and their children's schools and the impact that this could have on the modern working family.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have trouble juggling work and your children's school, the schedule, the sick time, the days off, making it to conferences and other events? Are there things going on in your school district that help you with that? If you work on the school side, what is your take on all this? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll pick up our conversation in just a bit here on Central Time.
This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. And we're continuing our conversation now with Ulrich Boser, senior fellow at the Center for American Progress, talking about why he says schools may be asking too much from parents and the impact this might have on the modern working family and the U.S. economy.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have trouble navigating your work time and your children's school time? If you work at a school, how do you try to reach out to parents who might have to work during conference time or other important events throughout the school day? Call in at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
Let's take a caller now. We've got Jan joining us in La Crosse. Jan, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was curious to ask your guest. He said he wasn't sure why schools ended at 3 o'clock, and that seemed kind of arbitrary. But I am a teacher and a parent, and I know that our schools end at 2:45 to accommodate sports. And I was wondering if they looked at that at all. Our school used to start at 8:30 years ago, but then because of sports activities and parents complaining kids were getting home too late, they moved it back to 7:30, and so that the sports activities can take place and music. And, for example, I have a 17-year-old junior who right now is at basketball till 6 o'clock. And then from 7 to 8:30, he goes to jazz band.
Wow.
So he's at school and he left at 7 o'clock this morning. But if we didn't have school ending earlier at 2:45 or 3, then he wouldn't be getting home till 9:30, 10 o'clock at night.
Jan, thank you so much for raising that. That's right. Lots of extracurriculars. Jan's own son has basketball and jazz band, and there's things like that. So how do you fit all that in if you're getting having a school day that maybe is more aligned for some kids with a parent's maybe 9-to-5 schedule?
Yeah, well, this seems like a school that has put some clear thought into how to schedule the school day, and certainly extracurriculars, whether it's jazz band or basketball, are really important, especially for young adults who are growing, and we want to make sure we have, you know, well-rounded young adults. And, you know, I think overall what we can do is think more holistically about this and make sure that the programs are integrated, and so that, you know, if a student wants to then maybe take band earlier in the day, or we can think about ways in which a student who might need a little bit of extra help in math can also make sure to get these types of programs. You know, I can't speak specifically to this school system, but what we've seen in other school systems is that, you know, it's often piecemeal the way that these different programs are pulled together. And what we found in looking across the U.S. is that more can be done to really coordinate these types of programs to make sure that they're meeting the needs of parents and teachers.
Jan, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate that call. And we go next to Georgia joining us from Madison. Georgia, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to share?
Well, I just, as I was starting to listen to this segment, what it occurred to me is that I think that maybe you're approaching the problems from the wrong end. In other words, you're saying that the problem is that schools aren't adapting to parents' work lives. And I guess that what I would say is, when I was growing up, very often there was one parent at home. You know, families didn't need to have two incomes in order to, you know, make a living. And that allowed for more flexibility to raise kids, which, honestly, I think that that's really what's missing, is that flexibility in our work lives to be able to raise children.
Georgia, thanks a lot for bringing that up. And what about that, Ulrich? I mean, should we be looking at workplaces being more accommodating and making it easier for parents to get to things instead of asking the school to do maybe more of the thinking and the contorting?
Yeah, I think that's really a great point. You know, on one side, I want to say, look, you know, we have to be careful about the realities of America today, and in many families, both parents are working, and a lot of the assumptions around school system today seem to have this sort of 1950s ideal of sort of, you know, Mad Men, where the man works and the woman stays at home, and that's clearly not the situation that we see in a lot of families today. We have women working and doing and you know, really participating in the workforce, and that's something that we really need to make sure that we continue to support. On the other side, you know, it's very clear that the middle class in the U.S. today is eroding, and you know, it is very hard, whether it's a man or a woman who's working and trying to raise a family on that single income. So, you know, I think we can work on both of these issues, making sure that schools are more flexible to the needs of working families, while at the same time recognizing that, you know, middle class incomes are stagnating. You can see this specifically with teachers. You know, if you have a teacher's salary, it's very hard for that to support two or three individuals. So what we can also do then to raise wages to make sure that families can support themselves on these incomes.
We've got a comment here from Wendy on Facebook who says, I do find it challenging to find balance as a mother of one school age and two non-school age children while working full time. However, I think the workplaces should be more flexible. Education is the cornerstone, she says, of a productive generation. That should warrant the flexibility parents need to accommodate the next generation's education. So one vote there for looking at the way workplaces conduct themselves and the impact that could have on families. And Ulrich, just briefly, is technology going to be part of this? Just about out of time, but what do you think?
Absolutely. We've seen a few schools use Skype for parent-teacher conferences, and that's, I think, one concrete way that a school can use technology to incorporate parents in a way that works for both.
Ulrich, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
That was Ulrich Boser with us, senior fellow at the Center for American Progress, and he was with us to talk about a new report that he co-authored looking at why schools may be asking too much from parents and what the cost could be to a productive society.